This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Coming up on a Friday.
Save that.
Home on a Friday, Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, great to be here with you. Love talking Padres baseball with you every single day. Series against the Dodgers starts tonight. Excited about that. Watching with the family. Probably be doing a lot of pacing and cursing as usual. Anytime, really against any team. It's not Dodger specific. You know, it's pretty much the way I watch baseball games at this point in my life. Woodsy, that's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And Benjamin, we have a busy, busy rest of the show.
We do. We are an hour away from our manager's report. Mike Schilt will join us as the Padres get ready to take on those Dodgers tonight. But right now, in our YouTube stream and on the air, we are joined by our friends from Cespedes Family Barbecue, their weekly visits presented by our other friends at Grand Ole Barbecue. And we've got both Jordan and Jake with us this morning from Cespedes Family Barbecue. You guys looking like Friday fresh today. Good morning to both of you.
I feel like $1 million, or in other words, the Padres payroll.
The first appearance
of the year.
Come on.
You know. Thank you, Jordan, for not taking early shots.
Listen, I wanted to make sure we could do this here today. You know, Jake now has to settle into the Friday cadence.
We
started things off with me last week, but excited to be here. I know we'll probably generally be alternating, but I figured we're still early in the season. We wanted to show that we can, you know, both be in the same place at once, and excited to talk some ball.
Well, I will point out, I'll point out to Jake that even though the Padres payroll was reduced by nearly nine figures in the offseason, that according to Jordan's piece at Yahoo Sports, the Padres playoff odds have just gone up since the start of the season, and they're closing in on 50-50 playoff odds here. So they must be doing something right to spend that little money and, you know, be headed in the right direction toward the playoffs, Jordan.
Well, you can thank the Fangraphs calculations for that more than me personally. I was merely observing as much as I was, you know, spreading the good news. But I don't know. So many of the teams at this stage, I mean, of course, we have a couple teams where it's like, yeah, we're bad. And then teams are like, yeah, we're good. Padres are right in the middle and a long way to go before we figure that out.
You know, it's funny.
We don't know anything. And guess what? That's okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely okay. I mean, there's a couple of surprises, though. I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised to see the Houston Astros at 4-10 right now. I'm surprised to know that the Oakland Athletics have actually won more games than the Houston Astros. I saw Hunter Brown's stat line last night. One of the worst you'll ever see. I felt terrible for the kid because I know he's got good stuff. Just one of those days in the big leagues he'd like to forget. But what's gone wrong down in Houston?
So you've obviously heard of a sack bunt and a sack fly. Hunter Brown yesterday was a sack lamb.
You
leave him out there to sponge up the pain, and he couldn't even get into the third inning, I believe. The Houston Astros The Houston Astros are not this bad. Sorry, everybody. They're not. They may not be the juggernaut they were a handful of years ago, but they're not the quality of a 4-10 team. That's just small sample size in the early season. However, we talked about this on our podcast today. There's reasons to be concerned about the Astros internally. That front office is not what it once was. And I think we feel more pessimistic about them in the next couple of seasons. That being said, there's so much talent on this team, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. I have faith that they're going to get their pitching in order in due time.
You're talking about a team, too, that has a no-hitter this season. And Ronel Blanco has thrown how many innings of scoreless baseball? And that was a complete surprise. And but, yeah, I mean, they still got Yordan Alvarez. They still got Altuve, who's hitting the ball well. You feel like it's a matter of time. But I like what you said about the organization being a little bit different, which can absolutely affect play on the field. And so far to this point, I think it has.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's just been a really interesting development there in Houston as they've continued to win, even amongst all this turnover where, you know, they fire their GM or part ways with their GM, you know, fresh off of winning World Series. And now it's a group, you know, led by Dana Brown, who's, of course, has plenty of experience in a front office. But with all due respect to Dana Brown, who I hope still has significant say in what's going on there, sure, Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio being friends with the owner and wanting to make stuff happen. Reggie Jackson is like very much in the inner circle, and listening to Reggie Jackson, you know, go on podcasts and radio and talk about we and us and we are thinking about this. I'm like, Reggie Jackson.
Like,
he like is defining himself by how he thinks about like the Astros bullpen moves. This is like so bizarre. But yeah, so again, and you know, of course there's value in having, you know, legends of the game are in and around. Every organization has special assistants in those roles.
Sure.
But it really does seem like in Houston they have significant influence. And we'll see. I mean, I think that some parts of this roster are kind of front office proof, but I think that we'll see over the next few years as they kind of move into a new window, even though a lot of the guys are the same. I think that's when we'll really find out kind of what they're made of internally.
Talking to Jordan.
Ready for an absolutely flaming take. Next decade, Oakland A's or wherever they go, more wins than the Astros from now until 10 years from
right
that,
now.
That is a bold proclamation, and we'll revisit
the
that.
The ownership's not changing, right? I just with the A's, it's the same owner.
Correct.
That's going to be a problem. Yeah. Jordan Schusterman, Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue are with us. And, you know, again, you can't make too much of the early season standings, but if you look at the teams that have really gotten off to a hot start, there's the 10-win teams, the Dodgers, the Yankees. But they're winning some close games. They're not dominating. The teams that have actually really dominated to start the year are both in the AL Central. The Guardians and the Royals, guys. Is there anything to be gleaned from the start from those two teams? Like, did we miss on something with either of those two clubs?
I think Cleveland is less of a surprise. I mean, this is a team that won their division a couple years ago. They have players that I think we really believe in. We know, again, talking about infrastructure, we know, especially on the mound there, even with the injury to Bieber, we kind of know they're going to find ways to get outs and play good defense. So that is less of a surprise, although their offense has certainly, I think, been better than we expected. Kansas City's total overhaul, particularly on the mound, and we knew they brought in new personnel. But to go from being what has consistently been one of the worst pitching staffs that we've seen to now what has statistically been one of the best. And when you watch it, it's like it doesn't seem like a fluke. I mean, not only have some of the guys that were already there, like Brady Singer and, you know, Alec Marsh look so much better, but, you know, Lugo and Waka have looked good. Reagan's, of course, has gotten a lot of hype coming into the season. But for them, it's just going to be about, can you get enough offensive support around a legitimate MVP candidate in Bobby Witt Jr., which is such a great place to start with an organization to have someone in place like that, that it's not hard to stretch and be like, oh, no, like, they're pretty good. Are they best run differential in baseball good? I doubt it. But, you know, there's an opportunity in this division still, especially with Minnesota's slow start.
Talking to the boys from Cespedes Family Barbecue this morning, and I wanted to get your take, Jake. I know I listened to your podcast that you guys did, your emergency podcast, when all of the Shohei news broke. I thought you guys handled it really well.
What happened?
And yesterday we had our 97.3 The Fan roundtable. When we got out of the roundtable, I was seeing people in the chat say, oh, man, these guys are in for a surprise when they walk out of the room. And we were. And the report was released. We talked about it this morning. I buy it. I mean, I absolutely buy it that this guy's head was in the clouds, that he had no idea that he was being pilfered from. Where do you guys stand kind of on this as you read it today or yesterday?
So two things. We did our whole show on this morning. You know, like, before you come to the table with a take, read the report.
Yeah.
Do not come to class having not done the homework. I do not want to hear what you have to say unless you've looked at the actual evidence. Okay. And if you want to sit here and not believe the report, then like, I can't have a rational conversation with you. Like, the IRS is not looking to cover up for Shohei Ohtani. Okay. Let's be real about that. And so when you read all the information, what you get is a very clear yet unbelievable, like, wild story about how this could have happened. And so I sit here on April 12th feeling bad for Ohtani and viewing him, as he is called in the report, victim A.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I fall on it too. And it's a tough thing to read, but I think that for all the chaos of how the story began with the conflicting stories, which now we understand was clearly Ipe in like full blown panic mode, right? And as, again, when you read the report and the investigation and them saying, like, explaining why they don't believe the original accounts were credible, why they don't believe, like, they reviewed everything they can. So if you want to choose to still buy whatever conspiracy or fall guy thing, like, I can't really help you. At this stage, it's just like a sad story of betrayal. It is a shocking story that is a lot to, you know, process, but that's kind of where we're at with it.
Do we know what?
And we have all the evidence. We have all the receipts. Like,
yeah, like, text messages, whatnot. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, to me, the important fact is we have evidence of Ipe texting the bookie all kinds of stuff.
All kinds.
And then we have zero evidence in like 9,000 pages worth of texts between Ipe and Ohtani over 4 years. Zero evidence of them communicating about anything related to gambling.
What is he? And so, like, what's he facing? Does anybody know? Have we heard
30 years, something like that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine there's like, this is one of those things where this is the next stage. I mean, in some ways it feels like we have some closure with the story, but he's pleading guilty. He's going to surrender and he's going to face, I mean, up 30 years. I mean, I imagine there's different levels of literally how much money and then how you were, you know, falsely impersonating someone, how you were actually stealing. Like, there's so many levels to this that it's going to be.
I think the bank fraud is actually one of the.
It's going to take 30 years in prison for his friend. Like,
yeah, okay, as bad as it is to steal as much as he did, it's actually not the steal. I mean, the stealing's bad. But the bank fraud is what they really get you for when you are,
and
like,
that's what's
dealing
on the headline of the report
with, right, our banking system.
Yeah.
You know, the funny,
they got Capone. They got Capone for tax evasion.
Yep. And
now
then
they may get Shohei for tax evasion at some point in California. I know they are looking. They may Capone. That's a different. That's a totally different.
So I've read through the report, or at least the details of the report, and I do believe everything in there. The one thing that I find the most amazing, it tells a story of Ipe Mizuhara just getting more and more desperate, and the steps that he goes as he continues just to sink into this addiction oblivion. But throughout all of it, throughout the betrayals and the lies to so many people, the one rule that he would not violate
baseball.
Is, I will not bet on a baseball
game.
They
had a meeting about it in spring training. I know not to do that.
Should they have had a meeting about, also, don't steal $16 million from the guy you're translating.
That he wouldn't have done it.
Maybe he would have not done that, too.
It wasn't covered in spring training.
I totally understand, like, the incredulousness of, he did all these things. How did he not cross that line? But again, the IRS reported in the going through all of the specific bets that Ipe made and found no evidence of baseball. And if MLB is paying the IRS off to lie on this report and that comes out in 3 years, well, I'll have egg on my face.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's not in there, though.
It doesn't make sense.
I'll put $6,000 on Duke women's soccer, but will not put $20 on the Dodgers to lose or win.
I was at the meeting. They said we can't do it. I'm not going to do it here.
They didn't say anything about women's college soccer.
Has to have a code.
Got
to
have a code. It's so good. It's just, it's incredible. Well, thank you guys very much, man. Keep up the great work. All the stuff that you're doing, your podcast, your writing is always our favorite. Thanks so much for jumping on with us.
And Woods, remember, when you steal $16 million from Ben, just ask first. Okay?
He would give it to me. That's the thing. He would give it to me. I wouldn't have to steal it.
Be respectful and everything's okay.
Exactly
guys, have a great weekend.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you next week. That is Jordan and Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue, presented by our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue. One is a real barbecue, with things like Texas Brisket. Mm. The other is a baseball website, podcast group, and just two guys who cover the sport who are named after a fictional, like, family barbecue.
That's right.
Just to keep that very, very clear. The one thing he would not do, and when he gave the interview, remember, to ESPN, he said no. He would not. I would not bet on baseball. No, I would not do such a thing.
As like someone that likes to put bets on games, if I had inside info about, it would be the only thing I bet on. If I got constant inside
info. I mean, if you're that desperate and you actually do have inside info on the one sport, you're a horrible sports bettor who has just been losing millions and millions. But there's one sport where you actually know.
You're around
what's kind of going on, and you're around it.
Like, you
actually would not bet on that sport.
You're in the dugout when you're with the Angels, and you're like, damn, dude, that guy is hung over. I know he's got a pulled quad because I saw him on the trainer's table. I know this pitcher is really on his last legs. I'm going against him. I mean, that's the thing
to
me.
I'll just go,
boom, it's right here. Let me get $5,000 on the, Tigers to beat this starting pitcher.
I need to dig myself out of this hole, my man.
That to me, and I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm just saying that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible that I don't want to praise him for his discipline, but you know what I'm saying?
Of course not.
That is something else, man.
All right, we will take a timeout. Don't forget, Mike Schilt, the manager's report, coming up at 9 o'clock today. We'll do an early Rindle report as well.
Should we do that surprise for him next?
A surprise.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we'll do the surprise. We have a surprise for you.
Okay.
Something we used to do on Fridays quite a bit.
And this one, we need this, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's coming up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan, back after a check of traffic.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, and Gwyn and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza.
I thought you were going to say Roundtable, simply the best.
Simply the best.
What a point we just got via text. When Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue, we were just talking about this, and when he texted to Paulie, I went, oh, man. Okay, good point.
Says, a point I forgot to make. The bookie probably didn't let Ipe bet on baseball.
Correct.
Why would the bookie let Ipe gamble on baseball if the bookie knew he had information?
Very smart.
Hadn't really put those two together.
Makes
perfect sense.
Counterpoint. Why did Pete Rose's bookie let him gamble on the Reds all the time?
Yeah, and do it to win?
Yeah.
Maybe because he liked having Pete Rose on his roster and like being buddies with him. And maybe he just also thought that the Reds sucked and he was throwing his money away. You know what I mean? Like,
it's true.
Bro, what's the worst team in baseball? Probably our beloved Marlins.
You
and
know,
if Skip wanted to bet on the Marlins, somebody might take that action.
It's such a point that I had never really considered from any perspective. But when you put it on the Pete Rose story, you would never let someone, if you knew who they were, you would never let them bet against their own team if you were a bookie. Like, Pete Rose is gambling against the Reds
tonight, and he's the manager.
I'm not going to take that action. Are you crazy?
He's
got betting against your team.
He's got Eric Davis pitching. He's
got to take that bet. No chance. I'm taking that bet,
bro. That's true. Zach says, well, it was the 70s and also 80s. Yeah, I mean, it's true.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, things have changed.
Things have changed.
We've advanced, and gambling is a lot more prominent now, sports betting, and so maybe that had something to do with it.
Well, we need to do this, and Ben had no idea we were doing it, and we need this for reasons. So it's been a while since we've done it, and I missed it, and it was time to bring it back.
I'm so surprised that I have these ready. Is there no open or anything?
No, we need no, this. We need this
it
dry.
Kind of dry and
just dry. I don't. Hold on, I got to put on my Kangol and my chains because apparently this is what's coming up right now. So
wow, I haven't seen you in the gear for
been a while.
Long time. He's having a lot of trouble with the chains and the headphones. Okay,
all right, here we go.
I'm going to turn my mic.
Just dry. This is weird. I'm used to background music. I don't even know this is a wrap. Here we go. All right, 3, 2, 1. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited, so go on and get to clapping. So pop it for a player, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a player, drop it for me. I'll rent a beach house in Miami, wake up with no jammies. Nope, lobster tail for dinner. Julio, serve that scampi. Julio. You've got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said, you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac, girl. Let's put some miles on it. Anything you want, just put a smile on it. You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all, and I'm going to give it to you. Gold jewelry shining so bright. Strawberry champagne on ice. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Sex by the fire at night. Silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico. Bleh. Say the words and we go. Say it. You can be my freaka, Bert. Girl, I'll be your fleeko, mamacita. Never make a promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna ever leave. Shopping sprees in Paris, everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me, who's the fairest? Is it you? Is it you? Is it me? Is it me? Say it's us. Say it's us, and I'll agree. Baby, jump in the Cadillac, girl. Let's put some miles on it. Anything you want, just put a smile on it. You deserve it, baby. You deserve it all, and I'm gonna give it to you.
Unbelievable. I forgot how much I love listening to you read.
That's cold. That's cold. No practice. No read-throughs.
Well done, sir.
That was brilliant. Thank you. And I think you know why we need some of that.
There were a couple of lines, but...
Well, the lines are always great. Oh. Can pull it. Yeah.
I like...
That song is called That's What I Like.
That's What I Like.
Can we get Mike Schilt to read that later this morning as well?
I would actually do anything to have Mike Schilt read that. That's what I like. It's so good. Thank you for that, because we needed...
Sex by the fire at night, that's what I like.
Who doesn't? Actually, I don't. I don't think I would.
So that's Bruno Mars.
Yeah. It's more of a pop song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems like he's treating a girl to a very nice time.
At silk sheets?
Yeah.
Cadillac,
waking up with no jammies.
Waking up with no jammies. I mean, that sounds like a fantastic.
You wake up with no jammies sometimes.
Sometimes. It's rare. Well, I don't wear jammies. I just wear underwear. But I don't. Sex by the fire is a little.
It's dangerous.
It is dangerous. It's hot, also. It feels like it only happens
like in a bearskin rug.
Bearskin rug? Yeah.
You ever.
That's very hot.
Bearskin rug? No.
No. You?
No.
No. Rug, sure.
Rug?
Yeah, not a bear skin by a fire. I don't think I would like it.
Like work carpet or like a real, like a more comfortable rug?
Like home carpet.
Just normal carpeting.
Carpet, just normal carpet.
Regular carpet.
Yeah, just regular.
How about hardwood floor?
Hardwood floor, sure. Yeah, I think so.
Couch?
Oh, yeah. Car?
Car.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite. I'm always afraid of getting arrested.
Is it a crime?
Yes.
Definitely.
Can't have your wiener out.
In a car.
In a car. Correct.
What if no one can see it, though?
I think you still get in trouble if you're
it's indecent exposure.
It's indecent exposure, is it not?
I don't know. If you're, like, if the windows are tinted and
is there a police officer listening? You can call us.
Private area.
0973. If you caught Ben in the car making love, would you arrest him? Wouldn't that be something, getting arrested for that?
Go to, like, Lover's Lookout, like, you
yeah,
drive.
Yeah, the Point.
The Point.
Yeah. 50s must have been awesome. What are we doing tonight? Let's go to the Point. All right. Sounds good. What's there to do at the point?
I just can't. In the movies, there's always like seven cars parked
which,
up there.
That's also
you know
a little
what
weird.
They're all kind of doing. That's weird.
That is weird to me. A little privacy, as it were.
Yes.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten all that taken care of,
how about we move on
to a Rindel report. Paulie, going to get some headlines. Did have some big college basketball news breaking overnight. I think we might have that in there. It's all coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Woods says this could be construed as Dodger loving.
What's that?
The fact that Max Homa is tied for the lead now.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
At the Masters, through four holes, second round, seven under par, tied with Bryson DeChambeau, who will tee off later. Scottie Scheffler also teeing off later this morning in the second round, which is underway at Augusta National. Those three are two shots clear of the rest of the field at the top of the leaderboard on a Friday at the Masters, first major of the year. Max Homa, noted Dodger fan, though.
Not a fan. Not a big Max Homa guy.
If he wasn't a Dodger fan, I probably would be okay with Max Homa.
Maybe.
But it hurts things a little bit that he is a huge Dodger fan. Now.
Hey, Max Homa and Adam Scott, can I get a whole year?
God. On Friday, it was going so well until you played. Ah, look at the hair on my arm, dude. It's standing straight up.
Max Homa.
Ah, God, I hate how she says it.
Can I get a whole year?
Is that still a thing, or is that moved on?
I think she's moved on.
We've moved on from that.
She's been shamed enough.
Right,
and for good reason.
We're going to move on. Now, that's cute.
That's cute.
That they don't even cute.
Do it. Hey, Max Homa and Adam
they don't do it anymore. Stop.
Can I get a whole year?
They don't do it anymore.
It's not the same.
They've moved on. They do sing Big Bomba Class all the time, though. They just scream it in the house.
Big Bomba Class before Boston Emmy.
Nothing makes me happy. Literally. We just all scream it around my house.
All right, let's move on.
It's the Woods family war.
Yeah, Big Bomba Class, I don't want to give me it.
It's Big Bomba Class before Boston Emmy.
It instantly puts me in a bed. It's the antidote to the, oh yeah. Oh, it's great.
All right, we're going to move on with a little Rindel report right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindel Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindel Report with Paul Rindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right. Let's see, gentlemen. You know, we've been talking a lot about sports betting over the last several weeks, but especially today. Saw a story here. I saw this yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, and I just wanted to read into it a little bit more before we talked about it. So there is a guy, Frank Chamizo. He is a Cuban immigrant who is a professional wrestler, not that kind of wrestling, Ben. Like actual, like on the mats, wrestling.
Like Greco-Roman.
Like what they do at Iowa in college.
Right.
Yes.
Like,
wrestling.
He is a world champion, a two-time wrestling world champion.
Am I a moron that I didn't know there was, that it went to professional? I know it was like Olympics. I didn't know there was a professional.
Well,
he's like a league?
He's won a gold medal, a bronze medal.
Okay, okay.
You know, like,
world championships.
I mean, like gymnastics, you know, outside the Olympics, they have their world championships every year.
There's not like a wrestling
figure
league.
Figure skating.
Though.
I don't know if there's a league, but they have like tournaments and you advance to the national championships. And then if you're good enough, you get it to advance to the world championships.
Carry on.
So this guy, Frank, he is a Cuban immigrant, but he wrestles for Italy. And has, I think, citizenship there.
Okay.
That's where he wrestles. And he was participating last week at the European Olympic qualifying tournament.
Big one.
And he claims that he turned down a bribe of $300,000 to throw a match. Now, he lost that match. It says he lost a controversial semifinal match, partially due to a disputed late call. Don't need to get into the particulars there, but he lost.
We couldn't if we tried.
Yeah, exactly. And his quote was, I knew that I had to give double, triple, because I was fighting in their country, and they had brought everyone. He claims in an interview, he was picked up. He's like, I did it, but then something happened that has echoes of wrestling many years ago, so I want to say it. They came to me and offered me $300,000 to lose.
The mysterious
they. I don't want to say who, but it happened on the morning of the weigh-in.
BS.
Really?
He says he turned down the bribe because, quote, I don't only represent myself, but also Italy. It's not easy to break my integrity.
Here's why. And give Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue a little credit for pointing out things that we don't think about that should be fairly logical. When he said, well, I mean, there's probably a reason that Ipe Mizuhara didn't bet on baseball is because the bookie wouldn't take baseball. Let's think about this. All right. You're going to pay someone $300,000 to lose a wrestling match. That inherently means what? You're going to bet a lot more on the guy who's going to win the wrestling match.
Yes.
Is there anywhere that is not going to raise every single red flag when all of a sudden, I mean, you're not just doing this for yourself so you can make $350,000 on your, so you're telling a bunch of people and all of a sudden $10 million in wagers come in on this one wrestling match that I can't imagine. That I can't imagine wrestling gets a ton of gambling action all the time. The jig would be up instantly. Yeah. If you offered someone that much, you'd have to bet way too much to make it worth your while bribe someone.
Now, what if it was for more than gambling? What if it was for pride of country?
Yeah, well, I guess that's
there's some rich-ass people out there. Like, if I was,
I want this person to go to the Olympics 100%. And I need you to lose to make it happen. That's probably more believable.
That's probably more likely
than a gambling actually situation.
Hey, that's interesting, though. Very interesting story.
Just given all the conversations we've had, I thought that was interesting. All right, we'll move on. There are reports that Major League Baseball would like to move away from the Sunday morning Peacock broadcasts. And somebody summed it up pretty well. Okay. NBC dropping MLB. ESPN wants to drop MLB after this season. Three teams' regional cable providers have gone bankrupt. Broadcast moved to free streaming.
Very cool.
Bally's and Diamond, 12 more teams on the verge of bankruptcy. Rob Manfred killing baseball. Not a good time for the sport as far as the broadcast deals go, because I was never a huge fan of the Peacock Sunday morning.
Either.
I love the Apple TV Plus.
So I saw this. I saw this tweet from a guy named Fuzzy. On Twitter. MLB recaps MLB the Show. He's got 110,000 followers. This made sense to me. He said, everyone's dropping MLB, which actually could be a good thing. I think Apple is about to buy a massive stake in Major League Baseball, go full force with ending blackouts. They'll 100% do that if it means getting Apple TV signups. Manfred ending blackouts could be his Hail Mary. I personally think the Apple TV telecasts have come a long way. Their image quality is insane. And if we can get blackout-free baseball on one single app, yes, please. That would be pretty amazing because, again, the broadcasters on there leave something to be desired sometimes.
It's
hit or miss, but the quality of that broadcast is the best I've ever
seen. Give me Dawn and Mudd
on
the Apple TV broadcast, the visuals.
Have you noticed on Padres .tv this season that they've added some of those
little factoids
like that we were getting with the Apple Plus broadcasts last year as well.
100%.
Little value added. Now,
like
the overall issue of broadcast rights, this is a problem, and baseball is kind of getting it first, but I would imagine most sports are going to start feeling the pinch. There was never any guarantee that rights fees would go up in perpetuity forever. And kind of the economic system of a lot of our professional sports were based on that exact fact. Well, we can just keep paying athletes more because we'll just get more in our broadcast deal the next time it rolls around. And that has been true for many, many years, that the broadcast rights have gone up and up and up, because live sports, the one thing that people will actually watch live, and you know, you can have commercials on, and you don't fast forward through, you're not streaming through it all. You actually have to watch the commercials, so they were valuable. But there is an upper limit to everything, and we're finding out that, you know, Diamond Sports wasn't able to make it work in some markets anymore with what they were paying, and that's going to put some brakes on, like, other places, like we don't want to get in the same boat that Diamond Sports got themselves in,
yeah,
where we paid too much in rights fees, we couldn't make that money back, and now we're facing bankruptcy. So that's a reality that Major League Baseball is going to have to face going forward.
Yeah, somebody in the chat said Fuzzy is a Cleveland Guardians fan. That doesn't have much to do with it. I think the move, if there was going to be a significant stake in Major League Baseball from Apple, I think that's, it's a good combo, at least for me. Listen, I know there are people out there like, I'm not getting Apple TV, or I don't have Apple TV, or whatever. The quality of the games is spectacular. I mean, it really is a better product for all of us to enjoy.
All right, and then finally, I did not know that this actually happened in real life. I thought this was only in the movies, but something straight out of Castaway happened this week. The U.S. Navy and Coast Guard found and rescued three men on Tuesday from a tiny, an atoll. I think it's an atoll, small little island.
Never heard of it.
An atoll. A-T-O-L-L.
You're an atoll sometimes.
You can be a real atoll.
Nobody thinks you're an atoll.
It's like it's an island made up of like a coral reef. It's an atoll.
You can be sometimes a huge, huge atoll.
I'm not an atoll.
You can be.
You can be. You're a much bigger atoll.
There's no question. But you pretend that you're not an atoll, and everybody knows I'm an atoll. But you have some atoll qualities in you. What happened to
you? Did you get in trouble for that one? I don't know. We'll see.
Can't say anything.
We're talking about islands in the South Pacific Ocean. Yeah. Or something.
So were they like surfing or sailing?
No, they were stranded on a small atoll south of Guam, and they spent more than a week there. They were left stranded.
God, it's just like the movie.
So it's three men, all in their 40s. They set sail from Micronesia on March 31st in a small 20-foot boat. And powered by an outboard motor. According to news release, blah, 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 they had experience navigating these seas. Something was damaged. It didn't get into all the details exactly how, but they ended up on this island.
It was supposed to just be a three-hour tour.
Oh, no.
A three-hour tour.
Oh, my God.
They got shipwrecked, essentially.
Yeah. The weather started getting rough. Ship was tossed.
I'm going to kill you. You atoll.
Such an atoll thing to do.
They set sail on March 31st. On April 6th, one of the relatives of the men reported that her three uncles had not returned, and they were approximately 115 miles northwest, blah, blah, blah. So they put out a search and rescue, and the Coast Guard was flying around, and they saw palm trees in the sand.
Crazy.
Written out the word help. On the beach.
Just like the movie.
And they rescued them. They're all safe. They're home. They're good to go. And I go, huh.
They made it a week.
I guess it's
in the chat.
I just was like, that is a scene straight out of Castaway.
That's amazing.
Wouldn't SOS be shorter, easier to write?
The S's would be hard.
They're
though.
Tough too. Yeah.
Right? You get a lot of, this is really simple. Help is easy. It's more.
The S straight is, lines.
Yeah.
I mean, the P should have a curve, but an S is an S, even if it's straight, like, you know, it's a 5.
Then they might think it's a 505. They're proud of their area code or something. We're repping the 505.
The 505 on this deserted island on this atoll.
Where is the 505, by the way? Does anybody know? I'm going to look it up real quick.
Lieutenant for the Coast Guard says,
Albuquerque, 505 in the house. They're like, hey, no, just three guys from Albuquerque.
Shout out Albuquerque.
Shout out Albuquerque. Reverend 619 on there.
Coast Guard Lieutenant
505.
In a remarkable testament to their will to be found, the Mariners, or the Mariners, spelled out help on the beach using palm leaves, a crucial factor in their discovery. This act of ingenuity was pivotal in guiding rescue efforts directly to their location.
Man.
Did any of them have to perform dental surgery on themselves
with an ice skate?
Oh, God.
You knew that you only had to survive a week, 1 week, I'm going to drop you off on Sunday, I'm going to pick you up on Sunday, but we're going to dump you on this island. Would you do it? Just
1 week.
See if you could do it.
I mean, 1 week.
Do you have some provisions with you or no?
You have what the island has to offer.
I know, but like if 3 days in, you're like, I can't do this. Do they come early, or is it like life or death? Like you have to either make it all 7 days or see what happens.
You wouldn't die though in 7 days. I guess
I'd be worried about like where am I getting the fresh water situation if I was going to be stranded. But if you have enough like provisions. It's pretty much a vacation at that point. Oh, roughing it vacation, but it's a week on a tropical island. Not the worst thing.
Yeah. I would sign up for it.
Hmm.
1 week, I think I would like to try it. Just one, though. But
a
I knew you're
on an atoll.
I knew, yeah, on an atoll.
How much would it take for you to do that show, Naked and Afraid? You've seen that one
on
one of the Discovery channels where they have like two people without clothes, without supplies, and they drop them off somewhere for like 3 weeks or whatever, and then they've just got to survive.
I don't know, man.
Honestly, it's the nudity.
Yeah.
It's not the I'm afraid to show my hog or anything. It's the...
It's like them wading through a river and not like, knowing what animals are in there.
Mosquitoes and stuff. Like, it's more of just like, that's just not comfortable.
Obviously, they're not completely alone. There's a camera crew with them as well, so they're not totally alone.
Right.
And if something happened, I'm sure they could radio for medical help.
I loved Bear Grylls. I know most of it was like a bit, but I don't care. It was entertaining. I miss that. Is that that show's not on anymore, is it? Sir, what was that show called? Down? No.
Not just Bear Grylls?
It was like Off the Grid? I can't remember, but I love that show. That was good. I like that kind of stuff, but not nude. Not nude.
Running Wild?
Is that what it was? I don't want to sleep and walk
around.
They
fashion usually some clothes out of things like that they find.
Palm fronds and whatnot. I need shoes and stuff. Yeah, coconut. The coconut bra. Oh, that's great stuff. Thank you, Paulie.
You're welcome.
I like the 505. 760. 858.
Why are there area codes?
That would be very 858 would be very hard to do.
Deserted beach.
Now, Roberto says in the chat, Paulie would be the first to die of the three of us.
Wood says this could be construed as Dodger loving.
What's that?
The fact that Max Homa is tied for the lead now.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
At the Masters, through four holes, second round, 7 under par, tied with Bryson DeChambeau, who will tee off later. Scottie Scheffler also teeing off later this morning in the second round, which is underway at Augusta National. Those three are two shots clear of the rest of the field at the top of the leaderboard on a Friday at the Masters, first major of the year. Max Homa, noted Dodger fan, though.
Not a fan. Not a big Max Homa guy.
If he wasn't a Dodger fan, I probably would be okay with Max Homa.
Maybe.
But it hurts things a little bit that he is a huge Dodger fan. Now.
Hey, Max Homa and Adam Scott, can I get a hoy?
God. On Friday, it was going so well until you played. Ah, look at the hair on my arm, dude. It's standing straight up.
Max Homa. Ah,
God, I hate how she says it.
Can I get a hoy?
Is that still a thing, or is that moved on?
I think she's moved on.
We've moved on from that.
She's been shamed enough.
Right,
and for good reason.
We're going to move on. Now, that's cute.
That's cute.
That they don't even cute. Do
it. Hey, Max Homa and Adam
they don't do it anymore. Stop.
Can I get a hoy, yeah?
They don't do it anymore.
It's not the same.
They've moved on. They do sing Big Bomba Class all the time, though. They just scream it in the house.
Big Bomba Class before Boston Emmy.
Nothing makes me happy. Literally. We just all scream it around my house.
All right, let's move on.
This is the Woods family war.
Yeah, Big Bomba Class, I don't want to give me it.
It's Big Bomba Class before Boston Emmy.
It instantly puts me in a bed. It's the antidote to the, oh yeah. Oh, it's great.
All right, we're going to move on with a little Rindle report right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right. Let's see, gentlemen. You know, we've been talking a lot about sports betting over the last several weeks, but especially today. Saw a story here. I saw this yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, and I just wanted to read into it a little bit more before we talked about it. So there is a guy, Frank Chamizo. He is a Cuban immigrant who is a professional wrestler, not that kind of wrestling, Ben. Like actual, like on the mats wrestling,
like Greco-Roman.
Like what they do at Iowa in college,
right? Yes,
like, wrestling.
He is a world champion, a 2-time wrestling world champion.
Am I a moron that I didn't know there was that it went to profession? I know it was like Olympics. I didn't know there was a professional.
Well, he's like a league.
He's world, gold medal, world champion.
Okay, like,
you know, like,
world championships.
I mean, like gymnastics. You know, outside the Olympics, they have their world championships every year.
There's not like a wrestling
figure
league.
Skating.
Though.
I don't know if there's a league, but they have like tournaments, and you advance to the national championships, and then if you're good enough, you get it to advance to the world championships.
Carry on.
So this guy Frank, he is a Cuban immigrant, but he wrestles for Italy. And has, I think, citizenship there.
Okay.
That's where he wrestles. And he was participating last week at the European Olympic qualifying tournament.
Big one.
And he claims that he turned down a bribe of $300,000 to throw a match. Now, he lost that match. It says he lost a controversial semifinal match, partially due to a disputed late call. Don't need to get into the particulars there, but he lost.
We couldn't if we tried.
Yeah, exactly. And his quote was, "I knew that I had to give double, triple, because I was fighting in their country, and they had brought everyone." He claims in an interview, he was picked up. He's like, "I did it, but then something happened that has echoes of wrestling many years ago, so I want to say it. They came to me and offered me $300,000 to lose.
The mysterious
I don't want to say who, but it happened on the morning of the weigh-in."
I'm calling BS.
Really?
He says he turned down the bribe because, quote, "I don't only represent myself, but also Italy. It's not easy to break my integrity."
Here's why. And give Jake from Cespedes Family Barbecue a little credit for pointing out things that we don't think about that should be fairly logical. When he said, well, I mean, there's probably a reason that Ipe Mizuhara didn't bet on baseball is because the bookie wouldn't take baseball. Let's think about this. All right. You're going to pay someone $300,000 to lose a wrestling match. That inherently means what? You're going to bet a lot more on the guy who's going to win the wrestling match.
Yes.
Is there anywhere that is not going to raise every single red flag when all of a sudden, I mean, you're not just doing this for yourself so you can make $350,000 on your, so you're telling a bunch of people and all of a sudden $10 million in wagers come in on this one wrestling match that I can't imagine wrestling gets a ton of gambling action all the time. The jig would be up instantly. Yeah. If you offered someone that much, you'd have to bet way too much to make it worth your while bribe someone.
Now, what if it was for more than gambling? What if it was for pride of country?
Yeah, well, I guess that's
there's some rich-ass people out there. Like, if I was,
I want this person to go to the Olympics, 100%. And I need you to lose to make it happen. That's probably more believable.
That's probably more likely
than a gambling actually situation.
That's interesting, though. Very interesting story.
Just given all the conversations we've had, I thought that was interesting. Hmm. All right, we'll move on. There are reports that Major League Baseball would like to move away from the Sunday morning Peacock broadcasts, and somebody summed it up pretty well. Okay. NBC dropping MLB. ESPN wants to drop MLB after this season. Three teams' regional cable providers have gone bankrupt. Broadcast moved to free streaming.
Very cool.
Bally's and Diamond, 12 more teams on the verge of bankruptcy. Rob Manfred killing baseball. Not a good time for the sport as far as the broadcast deals go, because I was never a huge fan of the Peacock Sunday morning.
Either.
I love the Apple TV Plus.
So I saw this. I saw this tweet from a guy named Fuzzy.
Fuzzy.
On Twitter. MLB recaps MLB the Show. He's got 110,000 followers. This made sense to me. He said everyone's dropping MLB, which actually could be a good thing. I think Apple is about to buy a massive stake in Major League Baseball, go full force with ending blackouts. They'll 100% do that if it means getting Apple TV signups. Manfred ending blackouts could be his Hail Mary. I personally think the Apple TV telecasts have come a long way. Their image quality is insane. And if we can get blackout-free baseball on one single app, yes, please. That would be pretty amazing because, again, the broadcasters on there leave something to be desired sometimes.
It's hit or miss.
It's hit or miss. But the quality of that broadcast is the best I've ever
seen. Give me Don and Mud
on
the Apple TV broadcast, the visuals.
Have you noticed on Padres NFL.tv this season that they've added some of those
little factoids
like that we were getting with the Apple Plus broadcast last year as well.
100%.
A little value added. Now, like the overall issue of broadcast rights, this is a problem, and baseball is kind of getting it first, but I would imagine most sports are going to start feeling the pinch. There was never any guarantee that rights fees would go up in perpetuity forever. And kind of the economic system of a lot of our professional sports were based on that exact fact. Well, we can just keep paying athletes more because we'll just get more in our broadcast deal the next time it rolls around. And that has been true for many, many years, that the broadcast rights have gone up and up and up because live sports, the one thing that people will actually watch live and you know, you can have commercials on and you don't fast forward through, you're not streaming through it all. You actually have to watch the commercials. So they were valuable. But there is an upper limit to everything. And we're finding out that, you know, Diamond Sports wasn't able to make it work in some markets anymore with what they were paying. And that's going to put some brakes on like other places. Like, we don't want to get in the same boat that Diamond Sports got themselves in, where we paid too much in rights fees. We couldn't make that money back, and now we're facing bankruptcy. So that's a reality that Major League Baseball is going to have to face going forward.
Yeah, somebody in the chat said Fuzzy is a Cleveland Guardians fan. That doesn't have much to do with it. I think the move, if there was going to be a significant stake in Major League Baseball from Apple, I think that's, it's a good combo, at least for me. Listen, I know there are people out there like, I'm not getting Apple TV or I don't have Apple TV or whatever. The quality of the games is spectacular. I mean, it really is a better product for all of us to enjoy.
All right, and then finally, I did not know that this actually happened in real life. I thought this was only in the movies, but something straight out of Castaway happened this week. The U.S. Navy and Coast Guard found and rescued three men on Tuesday from a tiny, an atoll. I think it's an atoll. Little, small little island.
Never heard of it.
An atoll. A-T-O-L-L.
You're an atoll sometimes.
You can be sometimes.
Like, nobody thinks you're an atoll.
It's like it's an island made up of like a coral reef. It's an atoll.
You can be sometimes a huge, huge atoll.
I'm not an atoll.
You can be.
You can be. You're a much bigger atoll.
There's no question. But you pretend that you're not an atoll, and I everybody knows I'm an atoll. But you have some atoll qualities in you. What happened to
you? Get in trouble for that one? I don't know. We'll see.
Can't say anything.
We're talking about islands in the South Pacific Ocean. Yeah. Or
so were they like surfing or sailing?
No, they were stranded on a small atoll south of Guam, and they spent more than a week there. They were left stranded.
God, it's just like the movie.
So it's three men, all in their 40s. They set sail from Micronesia on March 31st in a small 20-foot boat, and powered by an outboard motor. According to news release, blah, 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 they had experience navigating these seas. Something was damaged. It didn't get into all the details exactly how, they ended up on this island.
It was supposed to just be a three-hour tour.
Oh, no.
A three-hour tour.
Oh, my God.
They got shipwrecked, essentially.
Yeah. The weather started getting rough. Ship was tossed.
I'm going to kill you. You atoll.
Such an atoll thing to do.
They set sail on March 31st. On April 6th, one of the relatives of the men reported that her three uncles had not returned, and they were approximately 115 miles northwest, blah, blah, blah. So they put out a search and rescue, and the Coast Guard was flying around, and they saw palm trees in the sand.
Crazy.
Written out the word help. On the beach.
Just like the movie.
And they rescued them. They're all safe. They're home. They're good to go. And I go, huh.
They made it a week. It's in the chat.
I guess it happens, but I just was like, that is a scene straight out of Castaway.
That's amazing.
Wouldn't SOS be shorter, easier to write?
The S's would be hard,
they're
though.
Tough, too. Yeah.
Right? You get a lot of, this is really simple. Help is easy. It's more
the S straight lines.
Yeah.
I mean, the P should have a curve, but S is an S, even if it's straight, like, you know, it's a 5.
Then they might think it's a 505. They're proud of their area code or something.
We're repping the 505 on this deserted island on this atoll.
Where is the 505, by the way? Does anybody know? I'm going to look it up real quick.
lieutenant for the Coast Guard says,
Albuquerque, 505 in the house. They're like, hey, no, just three guys from Albuquerque.
Shout out Albuquerque.
Shout out Albuquerque. Revan 619 on there.
Coast Guard lieutenant
505.
In a remarkable testament to their will to be found, the Mariners, or the Mariners, spelled out help on the beach using palm leaves, a crucial factor in their discovery. This act of ingenuity was pivotal in guiding rescue efforts directly to their location.
Man.
Did any of them have to perform dental surgery on themselves
with an ice skate?
Oh, God.
If you knew that you only had to survive a week, 1 week, I'm going to drop you off on Sunday, I'm going to pick you up on Sunday, but we're going to dump you on this island, would you do it? Just
1 week.
See if you could do it.
I mean, 1 week.
Do you have, like, the
if you
the
have some provisions
helpline?
With you or no?
You have what the island has to offer.
I know, but, like, if 3 days in, you're like, I can't do this, do they come early, or is it like life or death? Like, you have to either make it all 7 days or see what happens.
You wouldn't die though in 7 days. I guess
I'd be worried about like fresh, where am I getting the fresh water situation if I was going to be stranded. But if you have enough like provisions, it's pretty much a vacation at that point. Oh, roughing it vacation, but it's a week on a tropical island. Not the worst thing.
Yeah. I would sign up for it.
Hmm.
1 week, I think I would like to try it. Just one, though. But
a
I knew you're
on an atoll.
I knew, yeah, on an atoll.
How much would it take for you to do that show, Naked and Afraid? You've seen that one
on
one of the Discovery channels where they have like
that one.
two people without clothes, without supplies, and they drop them off somewhere for like 3 weeks or whatever, and then they've just got to survive.
I don't know, man.
Honestly, it's the nudity.
Yeah.
It's not the I'm afraid to show my hog or anything.
It's like them wading through a river and not like, knowing what animals are in there.
Mosquitoes and stuff. Like, it's more of just like, that's just not comfortable.
Obviously, they're not completely alone. There's a camera crew with them as well. So they're not totally alone.
Right.
And if something happened, I'm sure they could radio for medical help.
I loved Bear Grylls. I know most of it was like a bit, but I don't care. It was entertaining. I miss that. Is that that show's not on anymore? Is it? Sir, what was that show called?
Not just Bear Grylls.
It was like Off the Grid. I can't remember, but I love that show. That was good. I like that kind of stuff, but not nude. Not nude.
Running
I don't
Wild.
Is that what it was? I don't want to sleep and walk
around.
They
fashion some clothes out of things like that they find,
palm fronds and whatnot. I need shoes and stuff. Yeah, coconut. The coconut bra. Oh, that's great stuff. Thank you, Pauly.
You're welcome.
I like the 505. 760. 858.
Why do they have area codes?
That would be very 858 would be very hard to do.
Deserted beach.
Now, Roberto says in the chat, Pauly would be the first to die of the three of us. I think Ben is gone first.
Totally.
Yeah. There's no doubt.
Pauly's very resourceful. And I'm stubborn.
I may outlast both of you.
You might. You're more resourceful than I think both of us are. But I'm pretty stubborn. But you would just give up. You would die of shame. You would just give up. He's like, that's it. I'm done.
I would die from a lack of luxury.
That's exactly right. Just be in hell.
Anyone?
You might enjoy the peace and quiet, though.
That's
true. A couple days.
That's true.
You could probably sleep for 24 hours straight on a deserted island.
I've fallen asleep on a beach before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The warm sand and just enjoy the afternoon, the breezes of the ocean.
Somebody said Ben would definitely create a Wilson.
Would you eat Ben?
I think we
if
all
I died first.
I think we all would create a Wilson if we could on a deserted island.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? Somebody to talk to?
No. No.
All right. Was it Survivor Man? That's what it was called with Bear Grylls. That was great.
A few shows, right?
That was great. Yeah, I would eat Ben. I would eat his calves. Delicious.
Meaty.
Like a turkey leg at the fair.
Yeah.
That's what it would look like. Me walking around the island.
Cook it over an open fire.
It'd be incredible. Incredible. All right, let's go to break. We got Skipper coming up next.
Yeah, manager's report with Mike Schilt as the Padres get set to start a 3-game series against the LA Dodgers. The first kind of real road trip. I know they went to San Francisco and I know they went to Korea, But Korea was different, and San Francisco was just one series. Now they're going to L.A., then they're going to Milwaukee. So the first kind of traditional standard road trip of the season for the San Diego Padres begins tonight up in L.A. Chavez Ravine, first pitch just after 7. Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt just after 6 o'clock tonight here on 97.3 The Fan. But coming up next, it's our weekly manager's report, our conversation with the skipper, Mike Shildt, as we return for the final hour of Ben and Woods this week on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Just three atolls.
Yeah, three atolls. One cup.